Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
I'm talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million, well, I'd buy you a house. I would buy you a house. And if I had
Hello, North Bay Stacks and Jacks, after all. She's bright and bushy-tailed Jay-Z. Would you say that on the board, Jay-Z?
No, because I'm not a squirrel.
You're not a squirrel? All right. That's all okay. I understand that part. That's P futures down 1475. Dow futures down 107. NASDAQ futures down 45. And I'm happy to have her here, Kevin. I didn't think she was going to be here.
Why not? I'm always happy to have Jessica there.
Oh, I'm already happy to have her because she was incommunicado since yesterday. Now, explain to me how somebody as immensely popular as Jay-Z could possibly have hit her phone on Do Not Disturb since class yesterday and not noticed her normal 500 texts and phone calls from everybody in the world trying to find her.
Maybe she did notice them, and certain people just got ignored.
That's very possible.
That is not true. My phone really was on Do Not Disturb.
When was the last time you were not disturbed for 8 hours or 10 hours or 12?
And I was tired of everyone's everything.
Okay, well, that's good. Now you're better today. That's good. She's ready to go.
All right.
Yeah, SP futures down 1475. Dow futures down 107. NASDAQ futures down 45. We were down almost we're now over 500 in the Dow yesterday. Came back to almost look like we were going to be up with a steady rally all afternoon, and then sold off again in the close, but closed nowhere now near we're down as low as we were earlier. But the market is becoming somewhat, I'm going to say, a little unglued, or it's repricing. I mean, 3M was down a bunch. Caliper was down a bunch. They were all down like, you know, $10, $6, which is a big number. Now, they've been up all that much. And we have the president now is going crazy against the Federal Reserve, saying Obama had zero. Do you think he could ever forget Obama, Kevin? It's a long time ago. I've forgotten him.
No, but I don't think President Obama can forget either, because he's been making the rounds again this week, patting himself on the back for economic expansion.
Well, you know what? How is it that they're all patting himself on all this economic expansion? You look at all the numbers; it's not all that expansionary. I mean, I know you're not supposed to look at the numbers. I mean, from both sides, somebody told me on the trading floor years and years ago, you never want to let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Not if I can help it.
Not if you can help it. I got a quote from you, Kevin, and maybe you. We'll see if Jay-Z can figure this one out. I'm gonna leave out the first paragraph, okay? Because if I read the first paragraph, it'll give you an absolute clue. It had to do with somebody coming across the big lie and what somebody considered to be something that was, quote, a lie. And I'll read you what the explanation was. A little long here, but not too bad. I'll be quick. All this was inspired by the principle, which is quite true within itself, that in the big lie there is always a certain force of credibility, because the broad masses of a nation are always moved easily, corrupted in the deeper strata of their emotional nature, and consciously or involuntarily, and thus in the primitive simplicity of their minds, they more readily fall victim to the big lie than the small lie, since they themselves often tell small lies in little matters, but would be ashamed to resort to large-scale falsehoods. Have never come into their heads to fabricate colossal untruths, as they would not believe that others would have the impudence to distort the truth so infamously. Even though the facts which prove this to be so may be brought clear to their minds, they will still doubt and waver and continue to think there may be some other explanation. For the grossly impudent, it is always leaves traces behind it, even after it has been nailed down. The fact which is known to all expert liars in this world, and to all who conspire together in the art of lying. Where do you suppose that came from?
Oh, I'm guessing, knowing you, Tom, that it's a Nazi quote.
No, no. Adolf Hitler, Mein Kampf, 1930, whatever the hell it was, 28 or something.
He was close.
Isn't that special? You were very close, by the way. Isn't it amazing that if it's big enough, you don't think it's a lie because you would never tell one that big enough. If it's a little lie, you'd tell it, so you can pick those up real quick.
that doesn't help me much, Tom. I know we have liars in politics. I mean, I was sitting there with the television on last night, and every time a political ad came on, I just hit mute because I didn't want to hear it.
Oh, I know.
Because I already know what the lies are. I know what the lies are from both sides, and I don't need to hear them again. Because it just angers me. I sit there just going, "That's not true. That's not true." So I just don't bother with it anymore.
But Kevin, how did we get that?
That's where we live today. That's the state of politics in the United States of America.
I know the reason why I bring up stuff like this is not because of the people behind it. So, this is nothing. There's nothing new here. I mean, that's the bizarre part. The people, you would think that in today's age. And if somebody told you a whopper in 1933 Germany, I don't even know where you'd go to find the facts, if you can find them. I don't even know where you'd go, Kevin. I mean, I don't know where in Roosevelt's time, if he told you a whopper, and he probably did a few times, how the hell would you even, how would somebody go find, I guess you could go to some library or there'd be some government document someplace where you could, I'm sure they always had people put out labor numbers and everything like that, but, you would never have guessed that if everybody has pretty much instant access to at least some information, that you could be doing the same thing, like you say, on both sides, every one of these commercials, both sides are lying. Why? My question to you is, I'm not pumping Adolf Hitler's intelligence here. What I'm saying is, why do they think they can get away with it? Why in Harry Reid's Congress would they do a bunch of crap that looked like they were in third grade and figure nobody would know what they were doing? These guys doing the same thing. All these little stupid rules in the Senate that both have sunk to screw the other side. People in Mandy Weber's generation, they look at that and they go, what are these old white guys doing? I mean, don't they realize how stupid they look, like on both sides? I mean, do they not get it that people actually, if you want to be like you are and I am to a certain extent, and actually check up on them, but according to what the interesting part of this article I just read, and if you read it, the English isn't so good in there. It's a translation, obviously. What it says is it basically says that people, the bigger the lie, the more likely they are to believe it. Are we still that way? I mean, because something's weird. Because you and I listen to these commercials, and on both sides we go, well, that's not true. That's not true. Are we that unusual, or are listeners that unusual? Because they must think it's working. They obviously spent a fortune on these things, and they have, focus groups and everything else. They must run it by people and feel that they're working. And yet, you and I look at them and go, God, what is with these idiots? I mean, there's a disconnect here, and I don't quite get it. Do you?
Well, here's the phenomenon. First of all, there are contrary facts available to the lies. That doesn't mean that the contrary facts have any are truer. Okay, so when you have both sides of the political spectrum, and really, the political battles, just to veer off for a second, it just seems to me that we used to battle for the middle in politics. Everybody used to say, I want to try and get more than my fair share of independents, of moderates, and so on. Now we battle to make sure that the base is energized, okay? And we live in that world where, the whole thing is getting the base out to vote, and whatever we get out of the middle is fine. So that's how we're conducting politics, is to the more extreme ends of the political spectrum now. So that's part of the problem.
Okay, well, we'll back up a second on that. You think, what I notice, and I think, well, you and I talked a week ago in person, I think we both are in agreement on this, that an awful lot of people who consider themselves Republican. By the way, I voted for a lot of Republicans, so I was always kind of in the middle. I don't see those guys around anymore, and the kind of Democrats I voted for, I don't see them around anymore either. It would seem to me that the bases are getting more extreme, but I think they're also getting smaller, Kevin. The real card carrying Republican or Democrat. I'm not talking about conservative or liberal. I think that is more.
There's a difference.
Yeah, there's a difference. And what I'm saying is, it would seem to me the math. I agree with you that that's what they're doing. I wonder why, because it seems to me that there's more and more people in the middle there for the plucking than there ever have been.
Because there's also we've also become a lazier electorate, Tom, and therefore it's harder to motivate the middle to get out and vote. But if you can get your extremes riled up, they will vote.
Do you think that we should change some of the election procedures? When I say that, I mean, in Chicago, it's always been, like, we have this huge election coming up in November. I mean, obviously everybody's, you know, fired up about it, or at least knows about it. Well, Chicago's mayor election is not in November. It's going to be in February, where they try and get the least amount of people at a winter Tuesday in February, when all the city workers will probably give them the day off, or the county workers, to go vote. Do you think that... So I was just listening this morning on the way in about somewhere in Carolina or someplace, they're talking about all these absentee ballots and should the signatures match. Well, yeah, they should match, for God's sake. I mean, why can't we go, Kevin, to more of a European model where we vote on a Sunday when people are off, try and get it convenient for the most people, and actually expect everybody to show up? I mean, what is wrong with this very simple, better model? Every state here seems to be a way to play games. Can't get registered. Oh, let's get absentees. And yet the neighborhoods that have the absentee ballots, how can I be politically correct here, my friend, are probably the least likely to have people on vacation anywhere in the world, shall we say. I mean, why do you need an absentee ballot in Inglewood, for God's sake? I mean, you're not going anywhere. I mean, why do I need an absentee ballot? I don't go anywhere. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Because you generally have a lower voter participation rate, so that leaves you a little bit more room for hijinks.
Well, that's right. That's my point. So, well, why don't we try and make it straight and straighten it out instead of all this BS that we're doing? Oh, make, you know, 10,000 absentee ballots out of an area where 15,000 people vote. I mean, Kevin, it can't be right. I mean, what are we doing? I don't want the Dems doing that. I don't want the Republicans doing that. I mean, why can't we just vote on a Sunday, and and the mayor's election should be the same day, and why can't we make this simple for people? We don't want to, or somebody doesn't want to. Right?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I would agree
with you. But I want to finish a thought, too.
Yeah,
because,
go ahead.
You know, how do you get away with the lies? Well, one of the ways that you do is that via, you know, we have slanted news media now. You have the places that where you can go for the left version of it and of news, and you have places you can go for the right version of news. And, you know, if you were to ask me which one, you know, where are there more? I think there's more to the left, but that doesn't mean there's none to the right. But as we do this, people tend to choose the news they watch based on, on their political bias, on their preconceived political bias. So what you're really getting is a lot of confirmation, not a lot of news.
Words of Dr. J, Chief, people are looking for affirmation, not information.
Right. And that's exactly right. And so that's what we're getting out of news. So when you say, you know, that there are sources available that will dispute and disprove any of the political lies, yeah, there are. It's just not what people are watching.
Well, yeah, I question, well, this thing with, but this is an area that I'm obviously very close to, is the Fed, the monetary policy, because it affects the markets, and that's what I do for my customers. So I'm more on this than most people. I can understand why you do it, Kevin, but I'm absolutely stunned. I mean, out of all the stuff that the president has said, you know, which is a huge stream of basically garbage. The latest, I don't know if it's part of the big lie or if it's part of him not knowing anything. He's comparing the markets now or the society to when Obama was president. And Obama had zero interest rates. I don't. The Fed's screwing me. But yet, 30 seconds before, he'll tell you about it's the greatest economy we've ever had. If it is, you don't need the Fed with there's a disconnect here. You don't have $1 trillion. You don't decide you're going to have another 10% tax increase, decrease on a $779 billion deficit if things are as good as you say they are. And oh, by the way, you don't want to have zero interest rates all across the board if you think the economy is percolating along as fast as he said. I mean, it's not the lies, Kevin. It's the sequence of lies in the same hour that don't even match together. If somebody actually knew some economics and would say, "Well, wait a minute, what are you talking about?" If we're talking about,
well, and Lou has made this point a number of times on this show, where you know what we don't do well in this country, or one of the many things we don't do well, is that we don't prepare people through our educational system to be citizens, to be informed citizens. People don't come out of high school with good economics education anymore. You know, it's just the basics. You don't have to be, be a macroeconomist or an economist in general. But I find it in classroom situations. We have a lot of people who just, when it comes to the basics of economics, just don't know it. I wound up in a tech class just this week, winding up in a long discussion of insurance and sort of the healthcare policy, because I was willing to let it run even though it wasn't the classroom material, because it came up with a student and a couple of others chimed in and I said, okay, let's go with it. But you found out that a lot of people were sitting there just getting their eyes open, basically, about how some of these things work.
Well, that brings up the next question. How is it, despite the demonstrations of the some of the crazed teachers' unions you have and everything else about more and more money for education, more and more, we're pouring more money into education than we ever have, Kevin. Now, you will say, you're closer to this than me because you're teaching people. But by the way, if ever you and Eric started drinking some beers together in a bar, I would have to go on the other side of the bar because I wouldn't even get a word in. Imagine that. All you guys would talk about is how, because he teaches a creative writing class, but people have no idea what punctuation is. They couldn't diagram a sentence if their life depended.
I put a section in every class called Grammar Fun.
Yeah.
And what I tell them is that we find public displays of poor grammar, ranging from billboard ads to commercials to magazines and things like that, and we mock others so that we will learn not to make the same mistakes ourselves.
Well, and I've been in two or three. What's the Mexican joint? The Mexican joint. Talk about South Side. Talk about grammar. The Mexican establishment that broke off from McDonald's. Is that the? They're always having the food poisoning things. Is it Chipotle? Chipotle.
Chipotle.
Yeah.
And it broke off from McDonald's?
They were owned by McDonald's.
Oh, okay.
They spun
them
off.
You.
And I've been in two of them. I've been in like four of them in my life. And two of them, they just happened to, the computer broke down when I was at the thing, and they said I'd have to wait because they couldn't make change. Yet they knew how much my bill was and the fact that I gave them a 20, and I had to teach the young lady how to make the change. And the guy comes up to the manager. He goes, "Don't worry, I got this covered." And he pulls out this calculator. I said, "The bill is $14.53. Here's a 20. You count up. Seven to 75 a quarter. That's 15 and a five, and we're done. How'd you do that?" But my question is, if they're not learning grammar, they're not learning civics, which they're obviously not. You can't add. What in God's name are you doing all day there? I mean, is it fair to ask that question? Well, for all this money.
It's fair to ask that question.
But it's costing
it
a fortune.
Very fair. And as taxpayers, we should be demanding results.
Well, that's what the part when let's say the people on the right bitch and moan about the amount of taxes they're paying, because they are, in income tax wise, they're paying the most probably, and they conveniently forget about all the other taxes that everybody else is paying, but that's another story. And you talk about the Chicago Public Schools, how underfunded this, underfunded that. my elves tell me that the in a high school class, the school gets 16,800 hours per student to start the year, Kevin. That's a lot of dough. I mean, so if there's 30 kids in a class, I'm doing the math here, but what are we up to? It's 480 grand, right? No, it's more like 500 grand. Let's say the teacher all in hospitalization benefits and everything is 1.25. So even 150, that leaves you 350. Where the hell is it going? I mean, how much more do you need? I mean, what is the overhead is what? Is 400%? I mean, it should be, 150% or something, building and...
Yeah.
I mean, what do we...
I think if you translate, Tom, most people who complain about the amount of taxes they pay are complaining because because it's not being spent well. So it would, I think if people felt that they got value for what they do, then they might think differently. But nobody thinks they're getting value for what they do. It's one thing if we collected a lot of money per head and educated people, but it's a rather different that we do as much, we spend as much as we do, and we don't educate people. And that's across the spectrum of services provided by government. And that's why, that's why people get angry. It isn't the dollar amount per se. It's that everybody knows it's getting wasted.
How is it, Kevin? We're in this game. When I say this game, we've been in this country for so long. It's the same subject. We've had patent laws forever, and somebody comes up with a cure for grumpiness, or something we really need a cure for, like heart disease or cancer. We don't even have a clue as to how much we're going to let the guy charge for it after we give him a patent. Or in education, you have different areas in the Chicago area. I mean, I'm up on this because we grew up in Evergreen Park, and Evergreen Park was a lot of people had kids. Don't get me wrong, but it wasn't overwhelmingly like a suburb where everybody moved there just because they had a family, okay, type of thing. And where every time the school wanted to raise money for the soccer team to have a 15-day trip in, Slovakia or someplace, that the school would have money for it and that people would vote it in. But Evergreen Park, every time they wanted something bizarre at the high school, Evergreen Park has a very fine high school. Guess who their most famous alumnus is, Kevin?
From Evergreen Park High School?
Yeah.
You didn't go there, so I don't know. Who else could it be?
The Unabomber.
Oh, okay. Great.
He got recruited out of there as a sophomore to Harvard at age 16. He was that brilliant.
Well, that puts Rutgers to shame, because yeah. Rutgers University, who Rutgers University's most famous alumnus is, don't you?
Not like Spiro Agnew or somebody.
No, it's Mr. Magoo.
Really? Well, that's cool.
Yeah, you can go on Rutgers website and find that out. Just search for. In fact, Jessica can tweet it out. Just search Mr. Magoo Rutgers. You'll find it, because at the opening of every show, he was always waving a pennant. And,
oh, that's right. Yeah,
as part of the opening sequence, and Rutgers was it. And there's even some cartoons with him going Rutgers, Rutgers, yay.
Well,
Rutgers has fully embraced the Mr. Magoo thing.
So in Evergreen Park, whenever there was a vote for like $90 bazillion for, knocking down 50 houses and putting up a parking lot or another athletic field, it always got voted down. Now in Orland, it always wins, because that's where people moved with kids. But now there's some older people there too. Every time the taxes go up, some of them pick up and leave. So I mean, you could have, democracy can be, tyranny of the majority just as easily as it can be the minority, and that's kind of
what always happens with all those referendums too. If we don't get more money, we're going to have to shut down sports, or we're going to have to shut down the arts, or whatever. That's always the threat. And when they get voted down, what doesn't happen?
Right, they don't shut anything down. Well,
they never shut it down.
I'll tell you a big lie in this could have been conjured right out of the Nazi Party, Kevin. And this is not politics. The big lie is very intelligent people on all the, and obviously they're on national TV, and I'm doing a podcast with you and Jay-Z, which is a good thing, by the way. But the Hasn't the mantra been, as interest rates go up, banks make more money? And our interest rates are going up and banks aren't making more money. We're making a little bit of... Explain to me, Lucy, how the hell Bank of America is a trillion two. They have 10 points, almost 11% of all the deposits in the country, which never was supposed to be 8% or something, the most you could have. Well, of course, nobody pays any attention to that anymore. So tell me how these guys are paying 2% interest versus nothing, that $24 billion is good for them. Explain that to me, Kevin. Maybe somewhere you can charge more somewhere else, but just the thought of them paying that, how is that positive for their bottom line? To the point where, like, they want to do it. I think they don't want to do it. Just saying.
So it would seem.
We come back. What we say? We talk a little sports. We got all kinds of crazy stuff.
I just want to hit a couple of things on the caravan too.
Oh yeah, me too.
It's a little legwork on it.
Strange. Well, now that we know who the Middle Eastern guy is running, walking with him. S&P futures down 13.50. Dow futures down 96. NASDAQ futures down 37. Think of Lowe's and Fishers. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom House. She's Jay Z on the board. He's Mr. Kevin O'Neill. Here's a lesson in the Dow right now on break. Here's a lesson in the Dow. S&P futures down 10. Dow is down 100. Boeing came out. They only beat by 3 cents, but the stock's up like 11 bucks. So since it's $7.50 in the Dow for every dollar in one of the Dow stocks with the multiplier these days, that would be 75 bucks. So now the Dow futures, instead of being down 100, are only down 23. NASDAQ futures still down 25. So there's a lesson right there. Oil up 26 cents, 66.69. Boy, I'm still thinking it's 70-something as it was last week. 10-year yield, 3.15. So that is stuck there as well. Moderately to the upside over in Europe. DAX up 38.3%. FTSE up 58.8%. CAC around up 39.8. They were caught down before we kind of rallied back yesterday. So over in Asia, we got somewhat of a mixed bag. Nikkei up 80, after bouncing back after that huge run sell-off yesterday. It's 0.4%. Shanghai up 8, 2603. They managed to get back over 26, but they didn't get back much of what they lost yesterday. It's 0.3%. Hang Seng down is down at 96. That's 0.4%. Like I said, West Texas Intermediate up 26. Brent down a dime. Spread is now, actually, it's under 10 bucks. Wow. $9.50. It's moved a dollar in the last 2 days. Natural gas, 3.18. Arbob gas, 1.83. Gold is down 340. Silver is unchanged. Copper up a penny. Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. It's still dark out, for God's sake. Days are short.
Well, winter is coming.
Yes.
Anyway, good morning, everyone. The time is now 6:36. Chicago is mostly cloudy today, but hopefully we will see the sun at some point. Today's high is 49 with a low of 39. Phoenix will have the sun shining all day today with a high of 86, low of 63. Red Sox took game one of the World Series with their bats hot. This game ended against the Dodgers 8-4. Blackhawks played a great game against the Ducks last night, ending the game 3-1. And a Coyotes player pulled some tricks out of his back pocket to lift themselves over the Blue Jackets last night, ending the game 4-1. Expressways are clear and no accidents to report. Back to you.
The Kevin, where's Matty Weber when I need to abuse him?
He tweeted something funny.
Oh, okay.
To you.
Uh-oh. I need to abuse him because...
Were there ducks involved?
No, he and his ilk, his statistician ilk in baseball, right? They can't ever, like, look at a guy and say, well, he's a tough out. Well, here's the stats, chief. He'll prove it to you, you know, type of thing. I was listening to some of the World Series last night, and all they talked about was Boston doesn't do any of this launch angle, any of that crap all these other teams have gotten their heads so far up and behind with. All they do is when there's two strikes on, they meet the ball. And I haven't seen a major league team meet the ball up the middle, go the other way with two strikes, and how their top two guys steal bases and do stuff. No wonder they beat everybody. And it has nothing to do with launch angle or anything, Kevin. They strike out less than anybody else. You know, it's unbelievable how well they play baseball. And I hope.
Yeah, the launch angle thing, I sort of understand what they're trying to do there. They're saying if you look at the field and you say, what's the coverage for that smaller space in the infield, then you say that it's much harder to get a ball through the infield. Then once you get it to the outfield, there's a whole lot more room, and there are fewer players to cover it, so there's more places for the ball to land. So that's a cool theory. The problem is that you do need people to be able to put the bat on the ball, and especially in certain situations. There's nothing more frustrating to me, because I tell people at school all the time, there's two things that just really annoy me to no end. One is bad management, and the other one is bad baseball.
That's the truth. Because how many years of our life did we devote to it? I'm still doing it.
But the issue is that it just annoys the daylights out of me, which is, how's that for cleaning it up before the words came out of my mouth? When I see someone come up with somebody on third and nobody out, or somebody on third, or even worse with one out, because just hacking away, taking the big swings and striking out and going back to the dugout without putting the bat on the ball. And it's especially egregious with one out, because what you just did to the probability of scoring a run by not putting your bat on the ball is you just lowered the numbers immensely.
All you have to do is
on third with one out and two outs, and it's just. So, look, you can get into all the advanced statistics that you want. One of them has to be, did you put the bat on the ball with a man on third?
Well, yeah. I watch Boston more than I should, because obviously the Tripoli Tap is a Boston bar. This kid who's the leadoff batter at Boston, and you look at him for like four at-bats, and you remember somehow, hopefully you've repressed the memory, but if you haven't, should we call him the College of Leadoff Hitters the Cubs had this year, Schwarber, Ian Happ. You compare any one of those guys to the guy who's leading off for Boston, and if you can't tell me there's 15 wins right there in the difference between the two teams, that's it.
Well, I don't know if it's 15 or if it's 10 or if it's 8, but whatever it is, would have made a big difference for the Cubs. And they have missed Dexter Fowler. Now, Dexter Fowler, since he left the Cubs, has not been the same guy, so they would have been missing the old Dexter Fowler either way.
Right.
But, he was a guy who got on base, who put his bat on the ball. I think, he probably struck out a little more than what we historically think of as a leadoff man. But he was still a guy who had a whole lot of plate discipline. And that, they haven't had that to put into that spot. As far as I'm concerned, leadoff, you want on base percentage, period.
And you'd like a guy that can run.
Third hitter, you want your best extra base hitter guy, which isn't necessarily your best home run hitter. It's just, I want the guy who's going to get me a run in the first inning. And he can get me a run by hitting one out of the park in the first inning. He can get me a run by driving in a leadoff man or a number two hitter. And he can get me a run by hitting a double in so that the next guy only has to hit a single to bring him home.
Well, all you have to do is watch the first inning. The guy puts one up the middle on two strikes. Then he steals second. Then the next guy on two strikes, I think, hits the ground ball to right field. Okay, the heavy set guy that it was a great pitch, and he just kind of whacked a three-quarter swing to right field. And Puig, whose baseball intellect is about the end of a jar, he comes in and he launches this total rainbow, so the guy gets to second base, so he scores two on the next hit. Like, you can't do that at that level.
and that's the bad baseball that just annoys me.
Yeah.
That throw. it drives me nuts when I see that stuff. And, I can be sitting there watching a team I want to win. I can be sitting there watching the Cubs or the Sox, and someone on the other side does it, and I'm still yelling at the TV.
Oh, yeah. What is this whole caravan thing? You know what, Kevin? I have kind of reluctant to dig into this, because, to be perfectly honest, I feel like most of the time, I feel like I know what I'm talking about, or if I don't, I will go home and research it, and the next day I'll know more. I have no idea where to find out even what the world is like in El Salvador, Honduras, or Guatemala. I'm assuming it's lousy, but how lousy? I mean, is it really lousy enough?
I actually did a little legwork. Just everything I have is cursory at this point. And I'll keep digging a little bit more and maybe have some more on Friday. They have a high murder rate, but it's approximately the same as the murder rate in Baltimore or St. Louis.
Not as bad as Chicago.
Not as bad as Chicago. One of the differences there is their murder rate is bound to be a little bit higher because they don't have the same quality of medical care that we have in the United States. So when you look at murders,
shooting
noted in the past, sometimes people survive a shooting now because we're so much better.
I'm going to say Chicago probably has the best shooting to murder ratio in the history of the world. We get like 1,000 people shot, only 200 dead. That's pretty good.
So you get the idea. But still, so there is a certain amount of violence. I don't think the economy is great. I think the bigger problem in Honduras is that you don't have a thriving middle class.
I'm going to show you how bad I am at this, Kevin. You know, the only real person, and how many years ago is this, as we were aging, that I really talked to about Central America at any for any huge length was my freshman year in college with your brother's roommate. Remember him? Mario.
Which one?
Not Pete Levinsky, that goofball.
definitely not.
Mario Cardinale, is that his name?
Pete Levinsky's stories will be another show.
Oh, yeah, that'd be another whole show. But it was Mario. He was from Nicaragua. Somehow he made it to Notre Dame. God, Kevin, you sat with the guy and, well, this purge happened, you know, when I was six and two uncles died in that one, and then we got another goofballs and who's in charge of the place now, and he killed all these people. I mean, Kevin, it's not a good place to live. I mean, it wasn't back then. But I guess my question is, that's a long time ago. Has anything changed? Do they still change rulers like we change underwear?
It's a process. So, let's start with the original organization of the caravan. The guy behind it was a guy named Bartolo Fuentes, and Fuentes is part of the Libre Party, which is very left wing, and frankly uses a lot of tactics that you would.
Do those people even know what left wing and right wing is?
Antifa.
Do the dictators even know what left wing and right wing is, or are they're just in charge?
Yes, and because. Libre actually had a president up in.
All right, Kevin, you're gonna have to hold that thought. We only got 10 seconds, buddy.
Power,
you gotta hold that thought.
Repeated attempts to undermine the constitutional order.
S&P futures down 8, Dow futures down 16, Nasdaq futures down 22. Boeing is the one that spiked the Dow here. It's up 11. Be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters.
the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures trading recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm talking about Mr. Kevin O'Neill, Jay-Z on the board, doing a good job. S&P futures now down 6, Dow is up 24, with Boeing spiking the market after their good earnings, and we have the NASDAQ down 9, so we've turned mixed here. Kevin, we were talking about the Caravan. Let me finish your question
and provide just a little bit more information, then we can talk about anything else you want, you know, any questions you want to have. Huh? So I'm just telling you what I've learned so far. So behind it, organizing was the Libre Party. Now, in the most recent elections, the European Union Election Observation Mission, which is one of those election oversight organizations,
God, how would you like to be one of those guys?
Elections a clean bill of health, and said at that time, going back to 2013, they've moved away from two parties to actually having four parties in Congress, so that even though the National Party holds power, they have to enlist at least one other party in order to implement any agenda. So they're operating with four significant political parties, and all are represented in Congress. Because Libre is out of power, and because they tend to do a lot of tactics. For instance, after each election, when they lose, then they organize protests, and actually sort of what we're doing lately.
Oh yeah,
they do all that. Now there's another organization involved, and I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what their role is, but it's an operation called Pueblo Sin Fronteras. In an article about them earlier this week, BuzzFeed said that translates to People Without Borders. There is a different organization called People Without Borders that was getting bombarded with phone calls and things like that, complaints. And it is not People Without Borders. That's headquartered in Washington, D.C., and it's not the same organization. So everybody who's bothering them should leave them alone and
sort of like
issued a correction on that.
The early days of the internet, Kevin, when you put whitehouse.com and went to a porn site, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah. People have learned to get every possible URL extension that they can own
yes.
Right now, even if they don't intend to use it. Anyway, both Libre and Pueblo Sin Fronteras are dedicated to open borders, so that's sort of what's going on with the movement there. I tried to find if Pueblo Sin Fronteras is registered in the United States. I haven't gotten anything on that yet. They don't have a lot of information on their website, but they do have something called committees, a committees link, and then if you go to the committees, all it has is some email addresses, but their committees are Tijuana, San Diego, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. So if that organization is operating in San Diego, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, it has to be registered somewhere, and I'll see if I can find that. Because I'd like to know more about it. Who are the principals? Those kinds of things. But this is this is organized. It's not just some organic thing where, you know, five people decided that they were going to drive to the United States and see if they could get in, and next thing you know, 5,000 people are following them.
Right.
It is organized. Somebody's feeding, somebody's fueling, and I'm interested to see who that is. And I don't have an opinion on who that is, by the way. I'm not saying this is Democrats. I'm not saying this is Soros.
I'm not saying
it's Republicans playing rope-a-dope. I don't have a clue who's behind it.
So you don't agree with our
is that there's one of the things that has to happen when people apply for refugee status is that they get a hearing in 20 days, and if they don't get a hearing, then they get an ankle bracelet and they get released. And of course, the ankle bracelet lasts about an hour before somebody with the right tools can cut it off, and they're off to the races. So this appears to be a flood the system, because you can't possibly give a hearing in 20 days to everybody here. So we're going to overwhelm the system, and that's how people are going to get into the United States and stay here.
I thought we concluded.
I'm done. That's all I can tell you.
Well, thank you for that, 'cause that's more than I do. But I thought we concluded on our emails who was in the what was going on with the caravan.
We were going with the peasant feeding them
and
peasants don't have the wherewithal unless they can.
For the listeners, Kevin and I were arguing back and forth regarding who's feeding them along the trail, and depending on whatever you want to listen to. So finally, one of our other friends came up with is President kind of Big Bazoo started talking about how there's Middle Easterners in the. In the caravan. So the third guy at our thread goes, well, that solves it. The third guy, one of the Middle Easterners, just made, 5,000 bottles of wine or bottles of water out of two, like the loaves and the fishes. So we know who the Middle Easterner is walking with him or something. I mean, it's almost like that bizarre. Okay? Yeah. But here's
the president may be right in that, there are people who will seize the moment here.
Oh, okay. Sure.
If whether you're smuggling and all kinds of the bad things that get smuggled across the border, could be drugs, could be people, could be could be weapons, could be all kinds of things. But you can bet that bad actors are going to infiltrate this. It's they're really good at it. I'm sure there's some of that. I don't know. I can't possibly have an opinion of how much. I wouldn't know.
Well, Kevin, I have, obviously, I have odd trains of thought on this whole thing. And there's, like everything else, there's a million different levels. It's like eight-dimensional chess, for God's sake. It troubles me to think that those areas haven't gotten any better than when I was talking to Tim's roommate, Mario. And they still have, and I don't know the difference between a left-wing and a right-wing dictator. I think they're just all dictators. I mean, they happen to have a style or a policy.
Yeah, but I don't think we're looking at dictators in this situation.
Okay, but all right. So I also know
we can still be looking at corrupt government. I'm not arguing that. I don't know.
Well, we're having something is happening. Something would really have to happen for you and I to essentially walk to California to want to go into Mexico. I mean, things would have to get pretty crappo around here for that to happen. So, I mean, that's a big undertaking. I mean, so somebody has to feel pretty awful about where they are right now. I mean, sort of like people get on some crummy old ship not even knowing where a hurricane was from in the 1700s on a sailing ship coming out of Europe. You know, my Italian grandparents that I still remember, they were 3 weeks in steerage, for God's sake. I mean, things had to be pretty awful where you were. Now, having said that, when your border is right there, you can't just have people from the southern part. Now, whether you're part of it with the drug trade, not part of it, like I said, there's a million levels on this, whether your demand for drugs is causing those areas to disintegrate, or at least partly. Is it partly your fault, or is that just me being Catholic? It's partly your fault. There's a million different iterations to that. But I also know you can't just be a massive safety valve that whenever any other government screws up, they all just pile over to your place. I mean, I get that. So it's not like I'm Mr. Liberal on that. I'm not. But I also know, Kevin, that if there were 5,000 people that all of a sudden had a problem in Honduras or someplace, you know what, Kevin? Give me a few bucks, not even need a few bucks. I'll take you or anybody, any other listener, I'll take you on a train, or I'll drive you in my Secret Service vehicle I'll drive you around the south side. Kevin, the place is empty. We could pull up a square mile, put 5,000 people in a couple of abandoned school buildings for 2 weeks, and all of a sudden start remodeling places. When they built Boulder City, in where Boulder Dam, now Hoover Dam, was, the joke was you came home from work, you couldn't find your house because if there was an empty lot next door, there was a house there and people living in it. They built that thing in like a month. We could put, there's so much empty land in the city of Chicago, we could drop 5,000 people here, Kevin, and you wouldn't even know them. And I would guarantee you, in one generation, that everybody's productive, they're all going to school, and everybody's working. I mean, I'm just saying, on so many different levels. Now, can we do that with a million people tomorrow? No. But to think that there's no 80,000 black people left Chicago in the last decade, those areas are empty. Why should they be empty? I mean, we need taxpayers there, right? I mean, it's not like we couldn't handle a few people, but I agree. Once you let 5,000 in, then what are you going to do with 5 million? That's a problem. I mean, but there needs to be an overwhelming solution to this, I think. The solution starts with, why the hell are you so anxious to leave where you're coming from that you're willing to, like, swim across the ocean to get there? That's a problem.
Yeah, let me get a word before you get me out of here, what you're going to do in about 30 seconds.
Yep.
And that is, yes, but a lot of those solutions are not going to come from government. They're not going to be well done from government, as we have discussed.
Oh, that I agree.
And it's going to be in the private sector. So on Friday, you have to help me remember to tell you the story of Ernie Rivas.
Okay. Well, Brian, we'll make Jay-Z put that on our list.
We'll tease that one.
And
you'll like it.
Right. Dow futures now up like 50. S&P futures are down 4. NASDAQ futures only down 5. Looks like we might have actually an up open here. Thanks to Boeing. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTIsecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTIsecurities.com. That's John@PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, I'm up next, Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holly's Mr. Russell Rhodes. Jay-Z on the board. S&P futures now only down 2, Dow up 65, thanks to Boeing. NASDAQ up 2, so we went from a pretty serious down open to the one that's kind of flat. Oh, wait a minute. There's one of the guys from the building. Alex? Yes, the guy with the cardigan sweater was coming this way. you took a picture? Yes, you can use the likeness. He's not all that famous yet. But now, I'd have him sign it, because when he is famous, yeah, when he's on the Fed board, he might want, you know, he might want that picture back.
I've spoken to the Fed board, by the way.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yep. It was it was a very intimidating experience.
Why?
On VIX. I had an internal discussion with them on VIX. I've spoken internally I didn't talk about this before because I was still at SIBO, but yes. I've met with the Bank of England privately about VIX. In fact, I met with them the day after everything happened back in February, and I've met with the Fed as well about VIX in the past.
Why do I get the feeling that it's those?
And I might be talking to the somebody from the SEC about some of those things as well in December.
I have a hunch that you're going to be. You're gonna be in every courtroom in the land, my friend.
No. I've already said no thank you to that.
No thank you to a subpoena?
I'm not going to be subpoenaed.
Jay-Z, as he used to say in the trading floor, timestamp that.
It's not that. When I'm talking to these people, it's more from an educational standpoint.
Oh, I know. I understand.
They understand what they're
doing. I also know you were over and used to talk to the Fed guys as well, because I know some of the guys in the audience. Hey, you know that Russell guy? I mean, Russell, the guy was on my show. Yeah, I don't know about that guy.
I don't know about that guy. I mean, he dropped an F-bomb during his, which I did, to make a point. That's why they haven't invited me back.
Oh, I know. That's an interesting group.
Yeah.
Well, once you're
I just wanted to be the one guy to actually use that word in front of them.
Oh, well, I know a few of those dudes, and they're out there.
Yeah.
Well, the guys I know are
to be really
cool.
Smart, you got to be out there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just part of we're at SIBO, and I'm my one last SIBO event is in a couple of weeks, and it's a bunch of academics coming in talking about derivatives and volatility. There'll be a couple of Nobel Prize guys in the audience, and the debates they have are just absolutely fantastic, and it's we call it a conference, but there'll only be maybe 30 or 40 people in the room. So the free-flowing discussions are absolutely fascinating. And one of my professors at Oklahoma State noted that the show The Big Bang Theory, which I've watched it on planes a couple of times, and only because she said this, she said it is the best depiction of life in the academic world and the diverse personalities in the academic world that she's ever seen.
They're all people that are on the dole, and they're all getting paid, reasonable amounts of dough. Especially over Chicago, you can land there and never leave.
Yeah. Hey, you're gonna they need adjuncts. You gonna write me a letter of recommendation?
Sure.
Awesome. There now I got to find.
What am I gonna say?
I'll write it for you.
All right. Okay.
That's how those things work. You know that.
Yes. Well. And one of my roommates, my good buddies, who actually just retired from NOAA, he doesn't want to get too politically active, because I said, you got to come out and talk about global warming. And he goes, You know what? Nobody wants to listen. Why would I do that? I have facts. Nobody wants to listen to the facts, which is, you know, probably true. Mm-hmm. But he went to he left Notre Dame and he went to Ohio State for his master's in chemistry, right? So he's hacking along. And he's there for like 3-4 years, and then he'd get, what do you call it when you get some money? Enough to where your education, you know, kind of your room and board, and
He got some kind of stipend or something.
Yeah,
or,
then he'd get he'd teach a class or two, you know, for somebody, and then the next year he'd get a little more money and he'd teach a class or two and he'd do some stuff. So finally he says to him, "Hey, when the hell do I get my degree? What am I out of here?" And the guy goes, "Why do you want to leave?"
Yeah, really.
You got a place, you're teaching class. Well, Columbus is a nice spot. Ohio State campus is gorgeous, but what are you doing? So he ended up going to University of Rhode Island for his PhD and then went to work for NOAA. But he says, yeah, you can get in that program. I was astounded. I went to a quick story. At University of Chicago, I was in the MBA program, right? So the first day, for some reason, this is how the world has changed, Russell. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, at Notre Dame, I was under 21 most of the way. So you're covered by your parents, pretty much, medical policy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is before you could go to 26. So I think, I don't know what I did the last half a year or something, but I think I picked something up at Notre Dame for like next to nothing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you're going to Chicago, and part of the deal was you got your hospitalization. So you had to go for a physical. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just swell. So I dropped in, and I'd been around campus a few times. In those days, campus was a little different than it is now. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting next to this very attractive young lady, which is the first one I've seen the entire time I've been wandering around the bookstore. I'm like, so talk about being deflated. Mm-hmm. I go start talking to her. Not, you know, I wasn't trying to pick her up. There were only two people in the waiting room. And she goes, well, I said, well, you know, what's your major? How's that for the great line in college?
There you
right?
go.
There you go. It was a beauty.
You've got game.
I know. I had game. Well, I mean, what kind of, how many lines can you have in a doctor's office, for God's sake?
What are you in for?
Well, I'm saying, I said, obviously, you're here for the same thing I'm here for, this crazy physical. And she goes, yeah. I said, you just showed up. Yeah. So guess what her major was?
Oh, gosh.
She'd already had her master's degree out of George Washington University, which immediately told me she was a couple years older than me, mm-hmm. which is okay.
Yeah.
And
experience.
She was Southeastern Asian Religions, and she was coming to get her PhD in Sanskrit.
See, I think, you know what? I think she was just trying to shut down the conversation when she told you that.
And then she says,
I hate to hurt your feelings, but I think it's kind of like I start using all kinds of Greek letters when people ask me about the markets, and I don't want to talk about it.
Right. Well, but then,
I'm extremely concerned about my downside gamma risk in my portfolio right now. And then the doctor walks away from me. I like it.
Well, that was considered by her to be, you know, a real, whatever you want to say, a vocation.
I really think she was messing with Jay-Z. I need to chime in here.
She wouldn't be the first.
Was she messing with him, or was she really wouldn't be the first. In Sanskrit?
Well, she goes, what do you hear? What do you...
She was probably just like entertaining the conversation.
She was just trying to entertain herself a little bit by seeing how.
No,
how
I mean
long
just like I mean I don't know when people talk to me and I like don't am not interested but I still act interested. If that's
okay. Yeah, I think she was digging
it. We're gonna ruin your ego.
It's okay. Hey, it's already been ruined.
I don't know. I mean, in the situation, I don't know
just,
what I would say. But
just,
any other
don't
any other university any other university in the world,
uh-huh.
you'd say she was messing with you. Not the University of Chicago.
That's
yeah.
true.
No, I don't.
Yeah. So she says, well, what are you here for? And I go, I'm in the MBA program. You could have sworn if I was a mosquito, she would have slapped me. What?
Oh, I'm sure.
You're like one of those guys.
Oh, yeah.
You're like one of those guys who's coming here to like just make money, and you don't care if you learn anything. You don't care about the university. And I'm just like, thank God my name was called and I got out of there. Because I was not part of it. Anyway, because I had taken economics at Notre Dame, I placed out of two or three of the economics courses, right?
Uh-huh.
But still, at the University of Chicago, you got to take 20 classes. It's not like other places where you don't have to take them and you get out early, not there.
Yeah.
So instead of taking 12 in the business school, I only had to take 9. So it enabled me to go into the economics school and take, that's where I took Milton Friedman and George Stigler and all those guys because I had all these extra classes. And talk about a different world, Russell. A totally different world. When these guys.
Oh, yeah.
You'd show up for a class. An MBA, you're paying for it. It's 2 years. All you want is out, right?
Right.
I mean, and, well, you want to learn, but it's also, I mean, I'm driving over there. I mean, I'm commuting. I mean, if you're commuting, you just want school to be over. I mean, right? And so these guys, they'd take a class. They'd audit a class first. While they might have been helping some other professor, having something going, or all getting their PhDs, there's eight people in class instead of 80, and half of them are auditing the class. And then the first test, if the first test is too tough, you can withdraw, and you don't get your money back, but it doesn't go against your record.
Yeah.
So half of the guys withdraw, and then you sit there. Okay, there's 16 people here, and at the test, there's only 8. You go, wait, these idiots are PhD students, and they're withdrawing it for this test, and I'm sitting here, I got to get this class because I want out of here. It was like, talk about a different world. But you learn a hell of a lot in those small economics classes.
Oh, yeah. No, I can totally see it. I teach the same topic back-to-back on Tuesdays and Thursdays at Loyola, and the discussions in the 14-person class are so much better than the discussions in the 50-person class, by far. And I think part of it's the 50-person class, people are afraid to speak up.
But, you know, they do have a milestone. I think it was last year. One class now costs more than my entire 2 years.
Oh, God.
Isn't that special?
Oh, yeah. No, that actually, I think at University of Memphis, that's the same thing.
You know what one class is? I mean,
one class?
One course.
Oh, 8,000.
Well, you know what? It was 6 a couple of years ago. I bet it's probably closer to 7 now. So
we're in the middle. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking 6 to 8. And I was let's guess the high end. Yeah, my kid's high school, or my kid's not even in high school yet. She's going to Bennett starting in the fall. Her high school costs more than my undergrad and master's degree cost at Memphis. People ask me why I went to Memphis. Like, because it was so inexpensive. And
because of, what's his name? Derrick Rose went there.
Well, yeah, he came after me. I actually took a class with Anthony Hardaway.
I thought you were going to say you took a class with Derrick Rose. You had to be
very quick to do
that.
I took a class for Derrick Rose.
Ah, I know that I can understand.
The statute of limitations is out of the way, so I'll admit that one.
Okay, Mr. PhD soon.
Uh-huh.
What is going on in the market here? And what is there... Not that I don't know if people... Is our president helping by screaming at the Fed and by doing all that other stuff? I mean, what's going on?
Okay, well, first off, what's going on in the market is interest rates are going up, and people are looking to 2019 and 2020, and right now projected slower S&P 500 earnings growth, so they are taking some money off the table, which is understandable because we've been in one of the longest bull markets ever, and we've got relatively high valuations, which are even higher when you start to look at forward earnings. Although you're getting kind of a mixture of, mixture of stocks reacting to earnings. You mentioned Boeing a couple of times this morning. They had good numbers, and apparently they didn't say. In fact, it's gotten better. They just pulled the chart up on CNBC while I'm talking about it.
Yeah, it stacks up a bunch. It's up 15,
it's up 15 now. Points now.
Which is 100 in the Dow.
Yeah. And the Dow implied opens up 126. Yeah. So thank you, Boeing.
That was down 100 before it came out.
Yeah. But I mean, it's all those factors together and a little bit excess volatility, maybe a little bit more uncertainty when, you know, we vote in a couple of weeks. Is it 2 weeks? I'm one of the 63% that won't vote in this
election. Was it the first Tuesday
election.
In November or second Tuesday in November?
Yeah. I think it's 2 weeks from today.
Yep.
So, I mean, all of those factors. And, yeah, I listened on the way in, and I heard you guys talking about Trump and speaking at the Fed like he is at these rallies right now. I think it's more rhetoric than anything else, and I think it's one of the ways that he emphasizes or tries to emphasize his outsider status, you know, even though, you know, his guys are the ones, you know, it's his guy. But I think that's all he's trying to do. I think he's well aware that regardless of what he says, the Fed's going to do what the Fed's going to do.
I
don't think, you know, you'll hear the commentators say it's dangerous for him to be commenting on that sort of thing. I think he's kind of like the blowhard uncle at Thanksgiving that none of us are going to listen to. In a few weeks, it's just kind of the same thing on that topic.
You see, I
really don't think he's trying to jump on the Fed into doing anything.
I'm getting to have different views than anybody on this stuff, and it has nothing to do with left, right, or in the barrel. I've noticed, and I've had, you know, some confirmation from a few of the contributors to the show. Even though somebody like you, or somebody like Kevin, or some of the one or two liberal people who call in, will say, and, you know, you guys are intelligent people, or I wouldn't have you here. I know that you are capable of shrugging off what President Big Bazoo says and all the lies, and it's just become a drivel of like a third grader to a lot of people. I mean, in terms of what he's actually saying.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like that to everybody. You can't... The one thing I have an issue with especially smart people, they try and judge... I'm going to say this without being a moron, or too late maybe. You think other people think like you, and you judge other people by yourself. And you, and you sort of, just because I don't believe him, and I happen to know when he says something that's totally wrong, I know maybe I've read or I've heard from one of you guys that the facts are pretty much just the opposite. The people who somehow like the guy, they don't think that way. They're absolutely convinced that he's telling the truth.
Yeah, there's, you know what, there's the base in both directions. I mean, Obama did not always tell the truth, and Trump doesn't always tell the truth. I'm not trying to turn it around. It's more of a point that there's, you know, there's two-thirds of the country, and you can divide them in half. A third that thinks that anything that Barack Obama said was gospel, and there's a third that thinks that anything that Donald Trump says is gospel right now. And then there's those of us that are in the middle, and I count myself, and I'm not discounting the intelligence of people that are on both ends. They're really smart people on both ends as well. And I'm always going to lean to the right of everything, but I just, you know, I have an understanding that, you know, there's thought, they're honest to God, I do believe this, that there is thought behind what the man says.
Oh, I do.
You know, and he's playing everybody, and he's played, you know, everybody talks about what an idiot he is. He has played everybody to the point of becoming president of the United States.
I just read it.
When he didn't even really have the backing of the party that nominated him.
You'll never get me to argue
that. So when he's out there and he's talking about what he's talking about, when he's saying that, you know, Obama had zero interest rates, and what he's trying to convey, and I'm not saying it's true or false, but I think what he's trying to convey is, you know, things went really well under Obama, and you can't deny that. But Obama had everybody helping him out. Things are going really well under me too, but I'm doing this all by myself, damn it. And if you know, vote for people that are going to make it even harder for me, I'm not sure that the good stuff's going to last. I think that's really what he's trying to say. Especially with where we are in the electoral calendar.
I for one, am really tiring of it, to be honest with you. I mean, it's two years into the guy's presidency. I mean,
yeah.
One of two things has to happen. I mean, in my mind. Again, I'm just one person. I'm bouncing off you, and I know nobody's, you know, it's not like my opinion goes anywhere. I'm just saying that if you are the president of the United States, and one day or one minute you tout how spectacular the economy is,
yeah.
Then the next minute,
I'm doing a great job.
Yeah.
Despite nobody helping me out.
But the next minute,
I think he's saying.
Well, the next minute, he got a tax decrease through.
Yep.
In the midst of a booming economy where they already had a deficit, which most people would think is stone cold ignorant to start with. Okay, from a fiscal side, not saying there's a lot of things in the tax law I like, and I've been on record on that a million times. But the point being is now that if it is the best economy, okay, in the world, you don't need zero interest rates. So, and you also don't need to drive a trillion-dollar deficit at people if the economy is fine on its own. So either he absolutely just likes to lie, which I have a problem with, or he doesn't understand, which I really have a problem with. I don't know which it is.
Oh, I think he understands. I do think he's a lot smarter than people give him credit for.
I'll bet he knows. I'll bet if he sat down here and we went over these economic numbers and stuff and how one matches the other, he would immediately launch into some campaign rhetoric. He would not want to talk to us about the detail of it at all. I don't think he has a clue.
Because that doesn't resonate with the people that he wants to talk to.
I think he doesn't have a clue.
No, I do think he has a clue.
Why?
Why do I think he has a clue?
Because you could never get him in any debate anywhere. Again, the man has a spectacular skill set. He's a president, for God's sake. He got there. But every time somebody asked him a question below the rhetoric, he didn't want to talk about it.
Well, I think he speaks to what he thinks people want to hear, not necessarily
that's a problem. I mean, after a while.
Well, that's what politicians do.
Yeah, but we've never... that's the part that, you know, I didn't want to get into political discussion. I don't want to talk about the economics.
Why not?
Of this. But the weird part is, no, I've never seen anybody call people out and give flat out lies like this guy ever. Mm-hmm. Even though you listen to Mitch McConnell, you listen to Dianne Feinstein, they never exactly speak the truth. It's never been on this kind of level. You've never had a guy.
He's a lot less honest than everybody else.
They would never put in a tweet something absolutely wrong. And 2 days later, we were talking about what was the guy last week about? He's basically bitching about the interest rates. Yet the guy's got 15 tweets during the campaign about how the interest rates should be higher and the Fed was doing a bad job and all they were doing was protecting Obama. Mm-hmm. Well, now he claims he's put the economy back together. Well, why should we have a 1% interest rate? I mean, come on.
I know economically I agree. Again, I think he knows that anything he says is not going to influence interest rates. Anything he says is not going to influence the Fed. But those things that he says, it's his way of continuing to emphasize his outsider status. And you know, he's not going to be able to continue to try to get some of the things done that he'd like to get done if you go out and if everybody goes out and puts in and stacks Congress against him. I really think that's the underlying message of what he's trying to do right now. This is what I'd like to see.
Do you defend him?
Why do I defend him? I'm not necessarily defending him. I'm saying why.
I'm going to say
I'm explaining why I think he's doing what he's doing.
I'm going to say that if I did that, the chances of you coming in and sitting across from me one day a week are zero. If every time I opened my mouth, I said something that was a lie to you.
Oh, yeah.
You would not. So what? Why?
And
why,
I don't think every time he opens his mouth, he says a lie.
Every day there's whoppers out there. I asked Kevin the same thing. I said, Kevin, would you even be my friend if I did that? And he basically said, no. I said, so why are we putting up with it with the head of the free world, for God's sake?
Well, we're putting up with it for the head of the free world because right now, because he was properly elected. And he's going to be there for a couple of more years minimum, regardless of what anybody says, you know, as far as impeachment and that sort of stuff goes. So, you know, if Hillary had gotten elected, who is one of the least likable people ever, we really did hold our nose and vote for the lesser of two evils. When I'm outside of the U.S. and they ask me how Trump we just had two such unlike. If either of the VP guys, for one reason or another, had to have stepped in, they probably would have gotten elected. Trump had too many Big Macs and Pence may have been able to actually beat Hillary.
Thought of a president from Southern Indiana. I don't know. Hoping that Trump stays alive, to be honest with you. I think Pence is worse.
You think he would be? He probably wouldn't be able to push anything through. Sometimes nothing getting done in Washington's a good thing.
Did you read the article about the Tribune? I don't know. I lost it someplace. Had to do with this is an amazing wake-up call for America that we never thought we could actually get a dictator. We have a guy who clearly wants to be one, but he can't pull it off. So what if he was?
I think every
president. What if he was smart?
I think every president would like to be a dictator.
I do.
I think they have things that they would like to do, and I remember. Trump's predecessor once saying that. You know, he really has some things he's like to do, but, you know, and I think he was mentioning a couple of topics, and he said, but, you know, I do have to get these things through Congress, so we've got to compromise on a few things.
All right.
And I think if you work in any big corporation and you have a what you think is a great idea, when I was at SIBO, if I had something I thought was a class that we should pursue, I'd have to convince five people before I got to move forward on it.
Well,
I really would like to have not had to have had a meeting with a bunch of people and gotten buy-in and all that kind of stuff before I do something. And it's the same thing with the president in his position. Whoever is president, I'm sure there are things they'd like to have done. I'm sure that George W. Bush would like to have done some things differently around the financial crisis and done them more quickly, but they had to adjust what they were trying to do to get Congress to approve it.
I think George Bush and the Fed, all those people were listening to somebody like Larry Kudlow and how great the economy was, and they had no idea that was percolating.
It was coming. I'm talking about afterwards. I think afterwards he...
Well, afterward it was...
I think afterwards there were lots of arbitrary actions he'd like to say. You know, Obama used that comment once. He said, well, you know, I've got a pen and a telephone, and there are things I can get done that way. And that's kind of how dictators behave. So I think anybody, I don't think it's just Trump. I think anybody that's president would really like to have not had to deal with anybody else.
The people with Bush won.
Yeah.
Bush won, constantly had a fight with Cheney and Rumsfeld about, they thought, all they cared about, Cheney especially, mm-hmm. was making the president more powerful. And kicking Congress back.
I think that's every president.
We've had
I think
like
that's
four presidents
always
in
been
a row.
The tension between the two. And I do think that the power has shifted from Congress probably...
Way too much.
Probably since Clinton, where it really has... There has been a shift. And I'll tell you what, 10 years probably be a shift in another direction.
I don't know about that.
But one thing before we go... Because
we're only going to break.
I know, but before we go to break, because you and I have these discussions, and we'll start talking about something when we're at break. And
well,
that's
Jay-Z's fault. She's supposed to remind us what we're talking about.
I just want to make this point. Let's see if 3 weeks from now Trump says the same thing about the Fed after the election.
Well, you know you're not going to get your tax cut if he wins in the election.
Well, it doesn't even matter. Yeah. Just let's see if he still is making that same sort of rhetoric.
Dow futures
about
up 50. NASDAQ futures down 4.25. NASDAQ futures down 4. Be happy, applaud Boeing for the Dow being up. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jocks. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, Nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks. Jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here.
Hello, and welcome back to Jacks. I'm Tom Mowes, Mr. Professor. When's the PhD thing?
February.
I don't have to call you Dr. J. Like
you
that.
Are.
What are you going to be, Dr.? What are you going to be?
I saw John the other day.
Dr. R.
I told you that. I was going to be Dr. Vicks, but not now.
Oh, God. SP futures down 4. Dow futures up 49. NASDAQ futures down 6. We were down pretty heavy early, but Boeing has saved us for the moment. When we're done with this, I'm going to ask you about, should we really be arming the Middle East? Is that our goal here? Oil up 31 cents, 66.74, 10-year yield 3.15, actually down 2 tenths today. Over in Europe, we've got a pretty good rally across the board now. DAX up 106, 1%. These guys have been down all week. FTSE up 87, 1.2%. CAC around the leader, 72 points, 1.5. So solid rallies in Europe. Nikkei up 80.4%, Shanghai up 8, call that sort of flat. 2603, they made it back over 2600. Hang Seng, the only guy who's going south, down 96 points, 0.4%. Oil up 31 cents, Brent down 1, so that spread has come in from almost $11 a couple days ago, Russell. Now it's like 960. We gotta find a way to play the spread. Although, I'm not to say we wouldn't have lost money, we'd just be playing it. Mm-hmm. RBOB gas 1.83, natural gas 3.19, gold is down, not on 650 as the market's going up. Silver down 7 cents, a little bit of pretty good last couple of weeks. JZ, what do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 7:35. Chicago is mostly cloudy today. Hopefully, the sun stays out, but now it is. Earlier, it was really dark. Anyway, today's high is 49, low of 39. Phoenix will have a sunny day today with a high of 86, low of 63. Red Sox took the game last night with their bats hot. This game against the Dodgers ended 8-4. Blackhawks played a great game against the Ducks, ending the game 3-1. Coyotes lifted themselves over the Blue Jackets last night, and the game ended 4-1. No accidents to report. Back to you.
So, Russell, if the market craps out, and I don't think it's going to, if it does, when I say craps out, we might get a... My best guess is interest rates go up and things are priced a little better. Mm-hmm. We have had enough growth in profits that the 40% drop you might expect is probably going to be more like 10 or 15.
Is a correction 10 or 20?
I think a correction's 10, and then what's 20 is something else. 20 is a
bear market?
Yeah, something like bear market, okay. Something like that.
I was talking to somebody from S&P.
Yeah, no, don't quote me on that.
That's the thing is, and I was...
10 is correction territory for sure, according to these guys. But 20 is something else. 20 is
bear market. Oh, well. I always thought of 20 as a correction, but I think I'm wrong. That's why I was asking.
An awful lot of the S&P is down 20% from their high.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I think it's a valuation type of thing.
Yeah, there's a big dispersion in individual stock performance. There has been for some time now.
Well, there's some that pay dividends and some that don't. And so if you're at least you can price the ones that are paying you something. It's a lot easier to price a 3M or a UTAX or any of those places that pay a nice dividend. And, we make $40 a year and we send you a check for 16.
Yeah.
You look at the interest rate, even you and I could price that, pretty easily.
Yeah. Even people in my corporate finance class can do that. And they better be prepared to do that tomorrow.
Well, like pricing Amazon, that's another story. Mm-hmm. I mean, you may never get a check, or you will be 20 years from now. And it's a big difference. Whether you want to hold, give him your money for free, essentially, if the interest rate in the bank is 4% versus zero. Mm-hmm. It's a much different decision. What do you think is going to happen when history is written, and you might do some of this when you become a full FID.
Well, I got to check the ticket, but I think I won the Powerball last night, so I can do whatever I want.
Are you cutting that up a little bit?
Huh? What do you mean cutting it up a little bit?
Well, 900 mil. I just want 1 mil.
Okay. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'll buy you a house.
Yeah, a house.
JC, you want a house?
The Unabomber's house out of the Please? Smithsonian.
Okay. All right. I'll just go to. Somebody asked Oprah once when she got really rich, what was the most common request, and she said lots of people asked her for houses. So that's where I go. She was in, I think she might have been interviewing Michael Jordan.
You know, the Unabomber.
And they started talking about how people said, well, buy me a house.
The Unabomber is the only person with his whole house in the Smithsonian.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why? How did his whole house end up in the Smithsonian?
Well, I mean, the house was what, 6x6 or 6x8 or something?
Oh, yeah. Oh, his
hut.
Not his house that when he was going to Evergreen Park High.
Right.
No, his house in Montana, which is, you know, there are people that live along the river here in Chicago in tents, and they have very similar houses to the Unabombers.
Well, this actually had a structure to it, but it was, you know, it wasn't very big. I don't think there was any, like, internal plumbing or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Ugh. Well, anyway. When it's all said and done, and it's all been written, shall we say?
Yes.
This whole thing about the Fed. Do you think, other than ridiculously helping banks, do you think going from 2% to 0.5% and back up to 2% did anything at all for the economy? I mean, I don't know if anybody.
I think it's safety netted it a little bit. I do think things that would have been a lot worse. You know. I have a student who has an econ professor who teaches all theory and no reality, who comes to me and keeps questioning what his professor is saying and asking me how he can argue with his professor. And his professor says you can print money and do QE type things and not have inflation, which is what has happened. The student's like,
I'll debate that.
It's more about what's going on in Europe than what's going on in the U.S. And I said, well, you know, part of the, he said, you know, what they've done over in Europe, they continue to have really slow growth. And I said, yeah, but if they hadn't done anything, it probably would have been a lot worse. I said, and then I was explaining how inflation is an ultimate result of all that adding money, but when you're adding it and things are really weak, the first part of it doesn't really result in inflation. So your professor is half right. And I know your opinion on inflation, that a lot of other that it's not measured properly, and I totally agree with that. But with respect to the quantitative easing and those sorts of things that have been done, I think the reason we haven't gotten, you know, the CPI boosted beyond not measuring things correctly, because it is measuring some stuff, is...
It measures cardigan sweaters.
It does, and I got this one for cheap.
Yeah. See,
I specifically wore this because I knew you would give me a hard time about it.
Well, you know, the...
I got some elbow patch jackets, too.
The hard part is that's what, you know, Milton Friedman did. He argued against something. How do you argue against the other side when people... You know the story about the guy in the went to the zoo and he saw the guy painting the elephant's toenails pink, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Now why do you paint the elephant's toenails pink? Mm-hmm. He says, well, that's because when they escape from the zoo, we can see them running and we can catch them before they make it downtown. And the guy says, well, I've never seen an elephant downtown. He says, see, it's working.
We fixed it.
Yeah. Now how do you ever? I'm going to say, just in general, if you look at things as somebody with a family, if you were to do stuff that maybe you don't have the time, thank God, that I do, and actually do stupid stuff like, let's check out this CPI, all right? And you put in, say, for instance, a house in 1978 that was probably worth $45,000.
Yeah.
It's going to come up as, you know, 110.
Housing since 2008 has gone up three times as fast. Three times as fast as people's incomes, and it's not showing up. No,
okay,
I'm agreeing with you. I'm just giving you a stat to back you up here.
All right. So what I'm saying is, now you put my Notre Dame education in 1974, which was I'm going to say somewhere in the neighborhood of 3,400. for the tuition. Now that's going to come out at 17, yeah, and the number is now 45. I'm not even including room and board. Room and board was 1,000. Now it's like 15. Now they eat better than we did. I understand.
Yeah, they do. I got to go there.
And so then then you throw in, for instance, medical care, and you're gonna put your insurance per month, which is probably $100, and now and that would be 400, and yet it's 1,200 probably for somebody who's a certain age. How can you believe any of those numbers when they're three or four times off?
You can't.
And anything that you care about. The only thing is if you put like TVs or stuff in there, yeah. And if you put men's clothes in there, yeah, because now we're getting it off from China. Or if you put something in there like, what's the really high end wool?
Cashmere.
Well, it isn't even really wool. Cashmere. Well,
yeah.
Guess what? Now that the Chinese have let basically cashmere goats eat half the place into a desert, you can buy a cashmere sweater for $100. It used to be $400 10 years ago.
I'm well aware. My cashmere sweater vests are. I love that they've come down in price.
Oh, God, yeah. So, yeah. But my point is when you look at those kinds of things, how do you believe this for instant? You know. So, I'm going to say, how would you ever even guess when if you were to say, okay, I'm going to take the banks down from 4% or 3.5%, which they have to pay, down to zero, actually negative because they're going to charge people fees. And without, you would think if you're at that table, Russell, even you, as conservative as you are, would say, well, wait a minute. If we're going to let Jamie Dimon give cash for free, are we still going to let the bleep charge 24% on his credit cards? Even you would say, well, there needs to be a little give on the other side. There was none.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody on the borrowing side, unless you were a firm like Microsoft to borrow for your stock back, I don't think you felt the fruits of this labor on a house you did.
Oh no.
And a house you did.
Yeah.
I don't know that a
No, it didn't make its way through.
No.
It didn't. And that was part of my explaining to this student that because it didn't really make its way through to everybody else, basically the banks got a lot of money for nothing and bought some government bonds which weren't going to default, and maybe they felt a little bit safer, but even though they didn't feel safer, even though they did feel safer, they didn't turn around and start lending money out to people. And if anything, they're starting to pull back on it. Like Goldman Sachs was getting into consumer lending, and they just announced a couple of weeks ago they were going to pull back on it. So, which I think might be a precursor to some bigger problems that they may see on the horizon.
You wouldn't guess. I mean, when I was in grad school, you would never have guessed. Of course, interest rates were what, 7 or 8 or 9?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We
actually talked about them.
Yeah, you would never guess that you would drive interest rates to zero and you'd have individual people going to payday loans to get a loan.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually companies. I mean, we've had some dramatic changes, and I will blame a lot of this on Obama, but Trump, while he's fixing, hasn't fixed it. I think that one of the things
he wants to keep it the way it is. I mean, if he's saying that he wants the Fed to stop raising the rates, he wants to keep it the way it is.
Well, okay.
Because it'll make it easy for
him. He doesn't want his trillion
to say, look at how great my economy was.
Well, he doesn't want his $1 trillion deficit to cost him another $20 billion a year.
Yeah.
Which it's going to happen with 2% going up.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess where I'm heading with this is that we're not sure who's doing what where. I mean, if you look at the amount I dug through, I shouldn't be doing this either. I mentioned it yesterday. If you dig through the total amount of cash, when I say cash, in risk-free investments that people have, and a lot of this is companies too. You look at T-bills, you look at demand deposits, you look at safety deposit boxes, really all treasuries. Stuff that you would consider to be, I guess you probably could put munis or AAA corporate debt in there somewhere. If you were to add like 2% onto that for 8 years, that's $350 billion a year that people aren't getting.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a lot of roofs. That's a hell of a lot of cardigans. Right? I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot
You're
of dough.
You really hung up on the cardigans.
No, I love them. I'm just giving you I was going to say it's a Perry Como one, but nobody remembers Perry Como except me.
Unfortunately, I'm not allowed to smoke my pipe in here.
Well, we can open a window. We can make an excuse. Besides, how many people have a pipe actually smoke it? They just mess around with it.
Well, I could do that. Yeah, I should go pick one up somewhere.
My boss at Pullman He was a dramatic drink, like 30 cups of coffee a day. Mm-hmm. He was a dramatic pipe guy. I don't think he smoked it twice a day, but he probably cleaned it 100 times, took it apart.
That's what's been missing from my ensemble.
Yeah.
Right there.
I mean, but he was constantly messing with it. It really does give you something to do with your hands, basically.
Yeah.
Of course, this is before when people had computers on their desk. So what did you do? Well, you couldn't go get an email. You couldn't go, play solitaire. You couldn't do anything like that. Mm-hmm. You actually had to figure out what to do it yourself.
Do they still make the pipes that blow bubbles? I could just walk around. I'm sure.
I don't know. You probably got to get those at a dollar store or something.
Yeah, I think so. That's what I want.
Oh God. So what do you think? I mean, we're caught in this game. I'll change subjects on the economics versus politics, and then there's always a match there, right?
Yeah.
There was a dude on the other day on CNBC talking about how it is so important to the workers in this country that we sell essentially the F-35s to Saudi Arabia. Do you have a problem with that now? I do.
You have a problem with us selling stuff to Saudi Arabia to offset the other threats in the Middle East?
Well,
that
would be the conservative way of looking at it.
Yeah.
We did the same thing to Iran 25 years ago when they were our friends. And now but I'm saying, by anybody's imagination, I think if you run out 40 years, I doubt if you're going to have one family controlling 90% of the money in a country that now has many million people. So I think somewhere along the line, the House of Saud is going to have a problem if they don't already.
I have a funny feeling that the people in Saudi Arabia are not, they would never say this publicly, but I have a funny feeling that there's probably a good portion of people in Saudi Arabia that are not big fans of their leadership.
Because we have an example, the funny part of it is because we have Fari on the show, we have a firsthand knowledge of this. Somehow we dodged the bullet on selling the Shah all those F-14s and stuff. We had to give them the money back this year or whatever, but I'm actually very happy that we didn't end up with a couple of destroyers and a bunch of Tomcats at the disposal of the Ayatollah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fast forward 30 years, do we really want this guy having F-35s? Doesn't look like the right guy to me.
Calculus.
Yeah,
that's what they always say when it's a very difficult. The calculus in the Middle East is so difficult. I do think that we want to maintain some sort of balance of power over there and have people that are favorable to us, in a powerful spot. If Saudi Arabia had nothing weapons wise, there would not be anybody to check Iran. I personally think that if we could get past a couple of things, we could get along quite well with the Iranians.
Yeah, we have before.
I think even with the people that are in charge now, we could have a let's just coexist type thing, like those really cool bumper stickers that you see every once in a while. I do think that there's a way to get there, and it might even and in reality, because they do have a more secular society in Iran than they do in Saudi Arabia.
Way more, not even close.
And I think that on average, I think the average person from Iran would probably be able to assimilate better in the United States than the average person from Saudi Arabia.
Well, that's because they've already done it. When the Shah was there, they were American citizens, for God's sake.
Because of that, I think, if you started from square one today, and we got to pick our friends over there, Iran might be higher up the ladder than they are right now. But they're not, and they don't trust us as far as they can throw us, and they also, I do think they have aspirations to, basically run Iraq as well, and would love to, basically have a big, a big portion of the Middle East, basically be like maybe even a fourth superpower. Arming Saudi Arabia helps us offset that. And beyond that, Saudi Arabia, they let us have a base over there.
They booted us out.
They did boot us out. Yeah. They have let us have a base over there.
Yeah, well, they booted us out.
Well, when we need, if we needed a base again, I bet they'd let us back in.
Well, I guess I think they would.
So we need, and then we also need a powerful friend in the OPEC area to make sure, because you know they, in the '70s, we made all of them mad, and they basically wrecked our economy for almost a decade.
Which they probably couldn't do anymore. Cause we have
yeah, I don't think they could do it as easily. As I said that, I'm thinking we've there's so many alternatives now. I don't think the price of oil has the impact on our economy. I think there's they're becoming more and more alternatives to that. And because there are more alternatives to that, we're not as beholden to the price
of oil. I'm
going to
say that economically...
It's one of the reasons it's not at 200.
All right, we're going to test your PhD stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say the elasticity of demand for the Saudis has changed dramatically since then. Now, what did I just say, Jay-Z? I think in those days, Saudi could say, screw you freaking Americans. I'm gonna cut my production by 15%, and it's going to cause the price of oil to go up 30%, so I'm a net positive on the deal. Mm-hmm. I think now, if they cut their production by 30%, they're going to get oil up 10 or 15%. They're a net loser. I think it's a huge difference.
And beyond that, they're trying to raise a whole ton of cash and take Aramco public. So I think they're even more concerned about the balance of profits in there right now.
But I mean, it's what I'm talking about here. It's something I think everybody should probably get a grip on. It's the difference between essentially monopoly power and none. I mean, if a farmer in Illinois, he could have the world's biggest corn farm, and he could say, I'm not raising no stinking corn for $3.60 a bushel. Screw you guys. And all of a sudden he grows hay there the next year. The price of corn probably does go up, but it probably goes from $3.60 to $3.60.0001, right?
Yeah.
So in other words, he didn't make any money on the deal. You know, I mean, if he
didn't do him any good.
If he yeah. was big enough where he could cut his production in half and have the price of corn over double, he ends up with more money. But that's not happening. Now, I think the world has changed for Saudi as well. But I think this is what I've kind of been my theme this week, Russell. And I love giving you grief, but my theme is if you look at things today and you look at, you want Boeing to make money, although I'm not sure we only need one company, but you want Boeing to make money. You want the people working at Boeing to have a job. I get all that. And by the way, right now, even though this stuff with Khashoggi, probably they're our horse in the Middle East, at least temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and all that comes together with selling these guys a bunch of pretty high-end weapons. But back up 20 years or 40 years, well, Iran was our guy not that long ago, and then Iraq was our guy until we messed that, because we were silently sort of giving them stuff because they were fighting Iran when Iran became the bad
yeah.
guys. And then it became Saudi. We keep moving around the group in there. You know, and if you look at it that way, every single time somebody becomes our guy, we arm them. And then it switches 10 years from now. And then we really got to arm the other guy. Seems like the only winner here is Boeing. And a couple other places.
I was going to say, what about Lockheed Martin?
Okay, there's two people, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, well, Boeing is high-end on the F-35, right? That's the network selling them?
Yeah.
So I keep using their name. Well, it was Grumman with the Tomcat. So they were the leaders in the Shah Derby.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, do we really want to keep pouring weapons into essentially the world's powder kegs? Now, then you could take the other point. Well, if we don't do it, the French will do it or the Russians do it, which is probably true, too.
There are other places they can buy these things,
yeah.
but I do think that you want to maintain a balance of power. It's the same, you know, balance of power that we have with, have with Russia and have with China. Any major conflict that we would, if we were to get into a major conflict with either of those countries, it would be catastrophic to both sides. And I think it's the same thing in the Middle East. If they actually got into it, it would be absolutely catastrophic. And I do think that they're sane enough not to blow themselves off the face of the earth.
You sure about that?
I have to believe that so I can sleep at night.
Well, I do too. But I'd rather have them. You know what? If they all had one bullet, I'd feel better. But this goes back so long.
Yep.
I was reading the history of Smith & Wesson firearms last week and how they went over to Russia and they had these Russian guys buy like 2,000 pistols back in, mm-hmm. you know, 18. It's not like it's new, Russell.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely not new. And, you know, it's and I'm not going to change it. I'm just saying, does the right hand know what the left hand's doing in Washington, I guess is my question. I mean, how these F-35s, hopefully they're not equipped like ours. Are they?
I have no idea what accessories they put in for when they buy those.
Plus, I'm also guessing that if all of a sudden we got pissed off at them mm-hmm. and didn't sell them any spare parts, the thing's so sophisticated, in 2 years they won't fly anyway.
That I do think we still have control over.
Yeah, I think we do have control over that. So, yeah. I mean, it's not like, I'm just asking a question. I'm not postulating an answer. I'm just saying, mm-hmm. are the people doing it asking the same questions we are? I'd like to believe they are.
I'd like to believe they're just not handing the thing off and saying, not my problem
anymore. All right, is the bottom in?
The bottom is not in.
You don't think so?
Nope.
All right, well, we got...
I'll let you know when, but not yet.
All right, we dial up, 25?
Implied open up 100.
Well, yeah, because, we closed at a discount, so I think the actual futures are up like 50. And we have SP futures down 350, NASDAQ futures up 3, so we got kind of a slow to mixed opening. Thank God for Boeing. Russell, thank you very much, buddy.
No problem.
Jay-Z, thank you. Be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.